Hello and welcome to Seeing Red, a true crime podcast. I'm Bethan and I am afraid it's just me this week. Mark's not very well, so he's sent me over his script that he was planning to present for you all. And I'm going to be honest, it sounds like it's going to be an awful one. A really tough listen. So I'm just going to present to you the episode that Mark had planned for us all. And I hope you'll all join me in wishing him the very best and hoping he feels better soon. And I want my partner in crime back. I want him back. I don't like doing it solo. I always say it feels very, very weird. Obviously, I'm talking to you guys, and we always have said about how it feels like we're just talking to friends when we do this show and we're talking to you guys. So at least that makes me feel a little bit more comfortable, but it's always a bit of an odd feeling to do a show solo. So yeah, thank you for joining me. I'll leave all the Patreon thank yous and whatnot until next week so that we can do that together. But just a big shout out to everybody who's listening today. A massive hello and thank you for listening and for joining us. This is season 11, episode 5, and we're going to be talking about the murder of Jasmine Kaur. This week, we're taking a trip down under to Adelaide, a vibrant and bustling city of arts and culture in South Australia, which is known for its laid-back lifestyle, cultural diversity, and unique blend of historic charm with modern amenities. Situated on the Adelaide Plains and bordered by rolling hills to the east, Adelaide offers a picturesque setting with easy access to both urban and natural attractions. The city is renowned for its well-planned grid layout, spacious parks, and its vibrant art scene, hosting numerous festivals throughout the year, including the Adelaide Fringe, which is the second largest annual arts festival in the world. With its thriving food and wine culture, Adelaide is a paradise for food enthusiasts, boasting an array of gourmet restaurants, bustling markets, and renowned wineries in the nearby Adelaide Hills and the Barossa Valley. Additionally, Adelaide is celebrated for its quality of life, its affordability, and a strong sense of community, which makes it an attractive destination for both residents and tourists. And I know that we've got quite a lot of Aussies that listen to our show. I wonder if any of them are from Adelaide. If they are, hello, and do let us know if your city is as amazing as it sounds, because it sounds incredible. Adelaide is undeniably stunning, writes Mark, and has long enjoyed reasonably low rates of violent crime. So it is equally both sad and surprising that such a beautiful part of the world should become a backdrop to this week's episode, a story of jealousy, obsession, abuse, and ultimately murder. It's a story which culminated in the tragic death of a young nursing student who had a promising future stretching out ahead of her, but was taken away far too soon by an obsessed man who had sworn to love and possess her by any means necessary. Australia is often referred to as the land of eternal summer, an enchanting country isolated from the rest of the world, and the perfect place to chase one's dreams. However, in this week's episode, we explore two dreams, one of them good and one of them evil, neither of which were fated to come true. Jasmine Kaur was born in early 2000 in Sangra, a district of Punjab in northern India. She was the youngest of three children, with a sister named Gumpreet and a brother named Sukhmanpreet. From a very early age, young Jasmine knew that her purpose in life was to help others. She was naturally very caring and attentive towards her elderly neighbours, and she doted on the younger children and babies that lived alongside her in her small village. It seemed that the extent of Jasmine's kindness and generosity knew no bounds, and she was never happier than when she was able to positively impact the lives of other people. As Jasmine entered her early teenage years, her gentle, attentive, and caring nature was put to important use when her father suddenly fell seriously ill. Jasmine worked tirelessly around the clock to care for her beloved father and did everything she could for him. But it wasn't enough. Even the doctors who visited him were unable to save him, and he eventually passed away. And it's understood that this was a real pivotal life event for Jasmine, who was not only devastated to lose her father, but she also felt utterly soul-crushed because she wasn't able to do more to save him. At the very depths of her grief, she vowed to become a nurse and to save as many people as she possibly could during her life. This became Jasmine's calling, her grand purpose in life. When Jasmine had finished her formal education, she applied to study for her nursing degree at the University of Adelaide in Australia. To her utter delight, she was accepted. An elated Jasmine then begged her mother to allow her to relocate. She had an auntie and uncle who were living in Adelaide, and she believed that Australia would provide her with the highest standard of nursing education. Her mother was reluctant at first, but she was unable to deny her daughter's innate and unique passion for helping others, so she gave Jasmine her blessing and allowed her to leave India. Jasmine arrived in Australia in late 2013, and she took to Australian life like a duck to water. She immersed herself in Adelaide's vibrant culture, enjoying the city's myriad of coffee houses, bars, restaurants and festivals. Her university studies were more than kind of everything that she hoped they would be, and more. And she also found part-time work in an elderly care home close to her auntie and uncle's apartment, so this allowed her to freely exercise her love of helping others when she wasn't at lectures. Her colleagues at the care facility would go on to describe Jasmine as funny, caring, dedicated, and exceptionally good at her job. Her university studies proved to be tough due to the heavy workload that is really common for nurses in training, but Jasmine was persistent, relentless. She was goal-orientated. She never lost sight of her dream. She never missed a lecture. She read countless textbooks. And true to her caring nature, she also took to helping her fellow classmates with their progress, which soon earned her the respect of her professors and peers. By all accounts, Jasmine's dream of becoming a nurse and dedicating her life to helping others was within reach. She had the world at her feet and a universe of possibilities ahead of her. She'd never been happier. After just a few short months of life in Australia, Jasmine attended a university social event where she encountered a handsome 21-year-old fellow university student named Tariq Jot Singh. Like Jasmine, Tariq Jot was an Indian national who was visiting Australia, and he was there to study computer sciences. Tariq Jot was born in Samrala, a city in the Punjab district of northern India, and his father was a hardworking farmer and factory worker who worked tirelessly to support his wife and children. Tariq Jot was said to be an exceptionally bright and gifted student who worked hard at school, took his education extremely seriously, and regularly exceeded all expectations in his exams. It was his academic prowess that helped him to earn a place at Adelaide University, and eventually fatefully crossed paths with 21-year-old Jasmine. Initially, Tariq Jot and Jasmine were immediately smitten with each other. Their friendship quickly progressed to something more. For several months, they were inseparable and embraced each other's company as they explored and enjoyed the wonders of Australian culture together. From the outside looking in, the pair were madly in love. Like I said, they were smitten immediately. There was even talks of marriage. However, behind closed doors, things were far from perfect. The relationship deteriorated quickly, and within a few months, it had ended almost as quickly as it had begun. Now, at this stage, the facts do become a little bit blurred because both Tariq Jot and Jasmine's respective families have wildly opposing versions of what ultimately caused the relationship to fail. So according to Tariq Jot's family, Jasmine's auntie and uncle strongly opposed their relationship from the very beginning. And this was apparently on the grounds that Tariq Jot was from a poor family of a lower caste and was thus simply not good enough for Jasmine. They then allegedly managed to turn Jasmine's mother and brothers against him too. And Tariq Jot's family also claimed that Jasmine's mother was so staunchly against the idea of her daughter marrying Tariq Jot that she tried to actually convince Jasmine to agree to an arranged marriage to someone else in India. And this apparently caused Jasmine and Tariq Jot to slip into a depression, which in turn caused an unbearable strain on their relationship. And so this, Tariq Jot's family claim, is what ultimately caused their relationship and their romance to come to an end. Conversely, Jasmine's mother, aunt and uncle later claimed that they initially had no strong opinions of Tariq Jot either way, and that the relationship had failed purely because Tariq Jot was a jealous, possessive and insecure man who abused Jasmine from the very outset of their relationship. They claimed that he was possessive and controlling to the point of obsession. He would bully Jasmine, he would intimidate her, and he would impose strict rules on her regarding where she was allowed to go, who she was allowed to see and speak to, what she was allowed to wear. He would blow up her phone daily with literally hundreds of calls and texts, demanding to know what she was up to. And this possessiveness quickly progressed to a full-blown obsession. And Jasmine's mother claimed that Tariq Jot was no longer simply proposing marriage, he was demanding it. To them, this was a major red flag. And this was the primary reason why the family were reluctant to grant their blessing. Despite this apparent disparity of events leading up to what happened next, what followed would later be verified in court as factual. So we know for sure that Tariq Jot and Jasmine's whirlwind romance started with an undeniable chemistry and intense passion. However, over time, Tariq Jot's jealousy and possessiveness grew, and this led him to become controlling over Jasmine. What began as affectionate protectiveness on his part quickly turned into a suffocating dominance, which put a strain on their relationship. Jasmine felt increasingly stifled by Tariq Jot's insecurities, ultimately causing their once vibrant connection to deteriorate. By the start of 2021, Jasmine had grown exhausted by Tariq Jot's unbearable behaviour. She decided to end things. Predictably, Tariq Jot took this rejection extremely badly indeed. He simply refused to accept that Jasmine wanted nothing more to do with him. As far as he was concerned, Jasmine was his property, and she had no right to make such a decision. He reacted with fury, screaming, cursing, and threatening violent retribution against her and her family. Jasmine was understood to be so disturbed by Tariq Jot's extreme reaction that she actually got on a plane and went to stay with her mum in India for 2 weeks, hoping that this, you know, this bit of distance, this bit of time apart would actually give Tariq Jot time to calm down. When she returned back to Australia to continue her studies 2 weeks later, she was sure that things would have calmed down somewhat by then. However, she was wrong. Because in Jasmine's absence, Tariq Jot had spent 2 weeks lingering in his bitterness and his jealous rages, and these rages were only intensified with each day that passed. He didn't have full control over his ex, and he just wallowed and really got worse and worse in those 2 weeks, rather than using that time to assess things kind of sensibly. So when Jasmine returned to Adelaide, Tariq Jot launched a terrifying, full-on, balls-to-the-wall campaign of harassment against her, which would soon amount to an extreme case of stalking. He would sit in his car outside her home, keeping an eye on the property day and night, as he simultaneously monitored her online activity. Whenever Jasmine left the house, Tariq Jot would follow her. Jasmine did her best to ignore Tariq Jot's unwanted presence, but this only further intensified his frightening behaviour. He began to bombard her phone with endless, vile, insulting, and even threatening text messages. He also vented his anger at Jasmine's family when they tried to intervene and to convince him to back off, to move on with his life. When his threats and insults and intimidation proved to be ineffective, he resorted to the oldest and the most pathetic trick in the book. He threatened to take his own life if Jasmine did not take him back. And at one point, he even filmed himself swallowing an entire packet of painkillers before sending the video to Jasmine. However, instead of rushing over to save him, as he hoped she would, she simply called in an ambulance and then ignored him. All he gained from that little stunt was an uncomfortable night in hospital, having his stomach pumped. Jasmine tried to stay stoic and unmoved by the situation, but behind the scenes, she was utterly terrified of her ex-boyfriend, and she began documenting all of Tariq Jot's unwanted behaviour and handing this information to the police. And I wanted to just pause here and just be like, well done, Jasmine, because it's so easy in situations like this. We hear quite often that people think that they need something dramatic to have happened, but actually you need that catalogue. You need that kind of example of all of the different things that they've done. People escalate and their behaviours escalate. And if you don't get in there quickly, when something's uncomfortable, it can become super dangerous. And I mean, obviously, by this point, this is horrendous. But I know we've talked on the show before about if you find yourself in a position like this, it doesn't matter if you feel like it's small at the beginning, because it may well seem small at the beginning. But if it's making you feel uncomfortable and you don't want that attention, it could get worse. So actually keeping logs and records is so important. So I just think this is really good that she tried to kind of, yeah, she tried to just keep her head about this, and she just kind of went with, right, I'm going to report all of this. And in February 2021, Adelaide police approached Tariq Jot and they issued him with an official caution. This intervention initially had the desired effect. Tariq Jot was rattled by the police's sudden and unexpected involvement. He worried that the repercussions might cost him his place at university, so he backed down and things did seem to get calmer for a little while. However, the police apparently failed to recognise just how far gone he was and how ineffective their warning was to ultimately be on him. This apparent lack of judgment would soon prove to have disastrous and tragic consequences. On the 6th of March 2021, almost exactly a month after Tariq Jott had received his official police caution, Jasmine inexplicably failed to show up for her morning shift at the elderly care home where she worked. This was very strange. Jasmine had an exemplary work record. She had never once even been late for a shift, let alone failed to show up altogether. Jasmine's colleagues, some of whom were aware that she'd been having problems with an overzealous ex-boyfriend, were so perplexed and concerned by her failure to show up that they actually rang her auntie and uncle's house to check if she was there. Their concern only grew stronger when Jasmine's relatives told them that she wasn't there either, and her aunt notified the police that Jasmine was missing. Given what the police already knew about Jasmine and her ongoing problems with her ex stalking her, her absence was an immediate cause for concern. From the very start, they began to fear that something terrible had happened to Jasmine, and logically, there was only one real prime suspect. So the police visited Tariq Jott at his home. They quizzed him about his ex-girlfriend's whereabouts, and he categorically denied any involvement in Jasmine Kaur's disappearance, claiming that he had been making an effort to forget about her and move on with his life. However, Tariq Jott's nerves were failing him. He was clearly agitated and anxious and evasive when he spoke to the officers. Everything he said to them felt rehearsed and pre-prepared. The police were far from convinced, but they simply did not have any sufficient evidence to make an arrest or to take immediate action. Indeed, at this point, Jasmine had been missing for less than a day. There was still every possibility that she would show up alive and well, and perplexed by the police attention that she was suddenly getting. Nevertheless, investigating officers were not convinced that this would be the case, and they were right. The following day came around and Jasmine had still not returned home. So the officers went once again to Tariq Jott's home to apply further pressure to try and shake some answers from him. Tariq Jott was again visibly rattled by the fact that the police had come back for a second round of questioning, and as officers began to ask more direct and rigorous questions surrounding his ex's predicament, he suddenly and inexplicably changed his alibi. Tariq Jott began to break down emotionally and told police that he had in fact seen Jasmine on the day she went missing. So, he claimed that he had gone to her apartment to talk about getting back together, only to discover that she had taken her own life, and instead of calling an ambulance or alerting the authorities, Tariq Jott had put her body in his car, driven for 5 hours out to a remote part of the Australian outback known as Flinders Ranges, which is a stunningly beautiful but extremely remote expanse of ancient landscape, and it's situated 250 miles directly north of Adelaide. There, he had buried her in an unmarked grave. This sudden change of alibi sent alarm bells ringing. The police had already felt certain that Tariq Jott was not being honest, and now they knew for sure that he was involved. He was arrested under caution and taken to the police station for a night of relentless interrogation. Again and again, Tariq Jott proved himself to be a terrible liar and a frightened little man with a weak resolve. Under immense pressure from interrogation, he began to cry and eventually he changed his alibi for a third time. This time, he claimed that he and Jasmine had made a suicide pact. They had driven out to Flinders Ranges together to take their own lives. However, after watching Jasmine kill herself, he claimed that he had then chickened out and changed his mind. In a panic, he had impulsively decided to bury her rather than own up to what he had done. The police were having none of it, but they felt obliged to follow up on what he was telling them if it meant the possibility of finding out what had really happened to Jasmine. So they put a handcuffed Tariq Jott in the back of a police car and drove him all the way up to Flinders Ranges themselves. And once they were there, they demanded that he would show them exactly where he'd buried Jasmine. At first, he said he couldn't remember. Again, the police they weren't having any of it and they just pressed him. After some aggressive persuasion, Tariq Jott led the police to the exact spot where he had allegedly seen his ex-girlfriend's body. And then after a very brief search, everyone's worst fears were realised. The body of Jasmine Kaur was found in a shallow grave just a few yards from the roadside where the police had parked their car. At first, it appeared as though Tariq Jott had finally said something true. However, when the police went about the grim task of exhuming poor Jasmine's body, the police were horrified to discover that she had been blindfolded, She had her hands zip-tied behind her back and her ankles zip-tied together. And a brief search of the area yielded the discovery of her shoes, her glasses, and her university ID card in a nearby trash bin. So very quickly, the police's suspicions surrounding Jasmine's death were confirmed. This was no suicide pact. This wasn't someone who had taken her own life. She had been unlawfully murdered. Tariq Jot Singh was rearrested, this time for the murder of Jasmine Kaur. He was denied bail and remanded in custody as the detectives began the grim task of gathering up evidence to build a case against him. And the findings of Jasmine's subsequent autopsy were nothing short of horrific. A significant amount of dirt was found in her lungs and her lower esophagus, which indicated strongly that she had both inhaled and swallowed it. This discovery proved that Tariq Jot had callously tied her up, incapacitated her, and then cruelly buried her while she was still alive and fully conscious, terrified but fully aware of the fate that was befalling her in real time as her despicable ex-boyfriend subjected her to a slow and horrible death. Being buried alive is, without a doubt, one way up there with the most horrific ways to die. I don't know about anybody listening to this, but it's absolutely one of those topics that I really struggle with. I just think it's the most awful. Anything where you're so aware and you're struggling in those last moments, that must just be horrific. For poor Jasmine, the process would have likely evoked intense feelings of panic, claustrophobia, helplessness. Initially, there might have been confusion and disbelief at the hopelessly dire situation she was in, being completely at the mercy of her captor and knowing full well that he meant to end her life. As the realisation set in, she would have likely felt a nauseating surge of fear and desperation, accompanied by rapid breathing and a pounding heart. The darkness pressing in, combined with the suffocating sensation of earth or debris surrounding her, would amplify the sense of isolation and dread. Every breath would have been a battle as the weight of the earth slowly compounded on her lungs. With each passing moment, the terror would intensify until finally, and perhaps mercifully, she would have begun to fade away as death slowly but surely enveloped her. Jasmine Kaur suffered a horrific death at the evil hands of Tariq Jot Singh, all because she had dared to reject him. Adelaide detectives began tracing Tariq Jot's movements in the days leading up to Jasmine's kidnapping. His home was searched and his phone and laptop were seized and analysed. And as it turned out, Tariq Jot had been so preoccupied with obsessive jealousy and murderous revenge that he'd done very little, if anything, to cover his tracks. In a relatively short space of time, the police were able to gather up an overwhelming amount of evidence against Tariq Jot Singh, and the case was soon ready to go to trial. The police were confident of their findings and they hoped for a slam dunk conviction and justice for Jasmine Kaur. In a pre-trial hearing, Tariq Jot Singh entered his plea, not guilty to all charges. The prosecution also put forward their case in the pre-trial and alleged that Tariq Jot had planned and carried out the killing because he was unable to get over the breakdown of their relationship. The police had provided the prosecution with CCTV footage from the day that Jasmine was taken, which showed Tariq Jot casually and calmly buying gloves, cable ties, and a shovel from a hardware store. All of the tools he purchased were later recovered and linked to the crime scene, which proved beyond a reasonable doubt that the murder was premeditated. Now, I remember seeing this, that there was footage of him, you know, CCTV footage of him going in. He signs off on like a COVID sheet that you had to sign in if you were going somewhere so that, you know, like if there was an outbreak of COVID or something and they had to, do you remember that when you had to sign in and out of places? So he signs in on the little sheet. So he doesn't even like hide who he is. He's not trying to hide what he's up to. He goes and speaks to a staff member and asks for help finding something. It's just, yeah, I just can't believe that he wouldn't think to even slightly cover his tracks. He was the only and really the only suspect in this. The police had literally been speaking to him about the fact that he was stalking her. They obviously knew about him and they knew about her. So how he ever thought he was going to get away with this, I do not know. The judge also heard that Singh had drafted several WhatsApp messages, which he never ended up sending, and he drafted these to Jasmine in the days leading up to her death. the most damning of which ominously read, "Your bad luck that I am still alive, cheap, wait and watch. We'll get the answer, each and every single one will get the answer. Deep inside, what I feel but can't get over." In the face of such damning and overwhelming evidence, Tariq Jot's defence team had essentially nothing to work with, except to plead the case that after the relationship breakdown, Tariq Jot's reasoning was gravely impaired, and they said that he had started to experience hallucinations after Jasmine's death. Unsurprisingly, such a weak appeal for sympathy was ultimately abandoned, because it would have stood little to no chance of swaying a jury full of Australians. And then, just days before the trial was set to go ahead, Tariq Jot, presumably following the advice of his legal defence team, changed his plea to guilty and subsequently confessed to being the one who had killed Jasmine Kaur. His subsequent confession outlined just how spiteful, heartless and despicably cruel he really was. So he stated that on the evening of the 5th of March, as Jasmine was leaving the care home after her evening shift, she had been apprehended by Tariq Jot and forced into the boot of his car. She'd screamed for help and she'd fought back, but nobody had heard her. Tariq Jot had been too strong, and he managed to close the boot and lock her in. As evening fell and darkness enveloped the streets, Tariq Jot's car swiftly made its way out of the city and into the remoteness of the Australian outback. It's thought that after a couple of hours of driving, Tariq Jot got annoyed by Jasmine's constant banging and screaming from within the boot, so he found a quiet and secluded spot to pull over. He then gagged her, blindfolded her, and bound her wrists and ankles together with zip ties. He also slashed at her throat with a knife, which left a superficial cut, but wasn't deep enough to be fatal. So I guess a sort of warning, perhaps, or something along those lines, or just a threat. It's just absolutely chilling, isn't it? You can't imagine how she felt and what she was going through at this point. The journey out to the Flinders Ranges was a long one, and this gave Tariq Jot plenty of time to think things over. He could have changed his mind and abandoned his evil plan at any point, but he didn't. He kept driving. He had fully made up his mind that if Jasmine didn't want him, then she deserved nothing less than a slow and horrible death. When the car finally came to a stop several hours later at the Flinders Ranges, Tariq Jot dug a shallow grave and then callously threw Jasmine, still alive, into the pit before cruelly burying her alive. When the job was done and Jasmine had passed away, Tariq Jot sat in his car and calmly smoked a cigarette. He then disposed of Jasmine's personal belongings in a nearby bin before embarking on his long return trip to Adelaide. In passing sentence, the judge ruled that the evidence was clear that Jasmine had undergone immense suffering and had been forced to endure the long car trip while bound and gagged. It was clear that the killing was planned and that Singh had taken steps to cover up the horrific deed. The judge said, "The enormity of what you were doing must have been clear to you. There was time for reflection. There was time to depart from the plan. Nevertheless, you went ahead and you killed Miss Kaur." The terror she felt when she was abducted, restrained and kept in the car during the long drive to Flinders Ranges is difficult to estimate. I cannot describe or imagine the terror Ms. Kaur must have been experiencing when she realised you were burying her alive. The judge added that he was satisfied beyond reasonable doubt that the killer's only concern was for himself, and added, "You killed Ms. Kaur in order to punish her for not wanting to be in a relationship with you and for wanting to go to the police." Jasmine's mother, Rashpal Kaur, travelled from India to Adelaide to face her daughter's killer in court, and her impact statement was read out. It said, "She spent her last hour on this earth with the very worst of humanity. How could he value a life so cheaply? I'm incandescent with rage. You treated my daughter as if she were nothing and disposed of her as rubbish." Through tears and repressed sobs, she concluded the speech by saying, "Jasmine is gone and I am devastated with grief. She was my precious little girl." Rashpal Kaur later told reporters how Jasmine had been due to return to India for the first time in 3 years for a family reunion, but instead she was going home in a coffin. Tariq Jot Singh was handed down a mandatory life sentence with a non-parole period of 22 years and 10 months, which is only slightly longer than the mandatory minimum non-parole period for murder in South Australia of 20 years. This sentence was met with anger and controversy. It means that Tariq Jot will be eligible for parole when he hits his early 40s, Many feel that this is plenty young enough to enjoy a significantly full life. Yet, he stole the opportunity from that, from Jasmine. The aftermath of Jasmine's tragic death at the hands of Tariq Jot sent shockwaves throughout Australia, leaving profound sorrow and disbelief in its wake. Tariq Jot's arrest and subsequent imprisonment garnered significant media attention, prompting widespread discussions about domestic violence, stalking, coercive control, and the importance of recognising the signs of abuse in relationships. Jasmine's loved ones grappled with grief and outrage, seeking solace in each other's support, whilst trying to cope with this harsh reality of Jasmine's horrific demise. As the legal proceedings unfolded, the case served as a sobering reminder of the devastating consequences of unchecked jealousy and possessiveness within relationships. Despite Tariq Jot's conviction and imprisonment, the scars of Jasmine's loss continue to linger, prompting calls for greater awareness and action to prevent similar tragedies from occurring in the future. Thank you for joining me this week, guys. Apologies again that it's just myself and that Mark wasn't here to present his case to you. But I hope that you have found this episode informative and interesting. And I hope that we've kind of managed to keep Jasmine's memory alive, I think is the best way to kind of put it, to remember this incredible, vibrant young woman who just wanted to care for people. I mean, what an incredible woman. And it's just so awful that her life was so cruelly taken from her and that she didn't get to go on and do all of those amazing things that she had planned. The difference that she made in the short time that she was on the earth is incredible, but it's so heartbreaking. She could have done so much more and should have been able to. I don't know what else I can say, guys. This was an awful, awful case. Really, really sad. We'll be back next week with another episode. So thank you so much for joining us and thank you so much for listening. Bye.